said that
he
has not talked.
Would you miss the
first
week?
I don't think it wasn't
it
a
3 week.
Days
or something? Three days.
Yeah, it was like 3 days, you know, 4, 3.5 days or something like that.
I'll never forget that press conference, too, when you got there. It was you and Smengi and who else showed up?
Kelvin Pritchard.
That's quite a crew.
The start of a rocky relationship for KP.
I mean, I can say, though, that I was here for all the voluntary stuff at the very beginning. And I think it's important, and I think, Tony, you're right, in that when you have a new staff and a new direction, so to speak, new ownership, I think you send the right message when you're at something voluntary. But it is voluntary.
The new staff part is the only thing that's an issue.
It's voluntary. There's no doubt about that. But we all went to a lot of voluntary stuff, Jeff.
Oh, we were the Jacksonville Volunteers for many years.
Well, but part of it was, I mean, listen, I didn't want to be at everything, but... And it was different because Tom could lean on you more and make.
Yeah, you were scared of him.
No, but after you're an established player, that's not why you show up. No. I never showed up to a voluntary thing. Now, early I did because I was, you know, rookie. But afterwards, you're established. I didn't show up because I was afraid, you know, Tom was going to get mad at me. I showed up because as one of the guys,
it was the right thing to do.
Leaders on the team, that's what you do. You are there. You participate. If you want to go work out somewhere afterwards, fine, but when the team gets together for on-the-field activity, I can't – and I love Mojo. One of my favorite – I mean, he is a great Jaguar, great NFL back. I mean, he is really, really good and plays the game how I like. I can't find any justification for him not being here this week.
But on a similar note, it did not affect the tempo, the way practice was run. I thought yesterday's practice was outstanding. I thought this morning's practice was good. And I'm so excited to watch coaching.
I mean, is that what you're focused on this afternoon?
It's all I watched this afternoon, this morning, and yesterday. And I'm so impressed with the way that this staff goes about its business.
Structure, discipline,
everything. Detail. And, hey, look, I understand it's the first mini camp, but, hey, look, I'm not going to sugarcoat, candy coat, anything. I did not see that the last couple years. And I'm seeing something now that I'm thoroughly impressed with. I'm thoroughly impressed with the way they go from drill to drill, station to station, and the detail that they get when they're at those stations. And I can't say enough good things about it. And this is, you know, hey, Jerry Sullivan, the wide receivers coach, wasn't here yesterday. He was at Joe Avizano's funeral. And so yesterday I really watched the quarterbacks and how they dealt when Greg Olsen coached them. I mean, the attention to detail on the drills themselves, the way that the players responded. And then today Jerry Sullivan was back in the mix. The way he coaches, he doesn't miss anything.
Mm-mm.
And thoroughly impressed. And it's good to see. And, you know, hey, I'm right in the same boat with Gene Smith and that coaching matters. And, Tony, you know it matters.
Yeah, absolutely.
You had one of the better offensive line coaches in Mike Mazur, and sometimes he was a pain in the rear because he got on you about a lot of little things
that you thought weren't
important, but they matter.
Yeah.
And I like the way that they conduct themselves.
Well, you know how I've felt the last few years. I mean, that's what this team needs.
It was interesting on Tuesday to watch Greg Olsen work with the quarterbacks, and you kept hearing him talk about, you know, don't be satisfied with just getting the ball there. He was talking about location, don't let the ball hit the ground, just constant stuff about detail, detail, detail. And that's, you know, that's good to hear.
Real good to hear, and it was great to watch. I mean, to me, it was an absolute thrill. And Greg Olsen is nonstop coaching. You know, there were times last year with the quarterbacks coach and Blaine Gabbert where it was like a special teams drill and the quarterbacks would over there be shooting the breeze. And,
right.
You know, it's so-called downtime.
Right.
When there's downtime now, there's something to work on, whether it be teaching the fundamentals of footwork and working on footwork to instructing routes. And I'm seeing from Blaine Gabbert now to where the communication is back and forth between the receivers and himself, and that's what you want to have. That's what has to happen. That's the progression that he has to make.
So it sounds like you think that this orientation, this 3 day, is as much for the coaches as it is for the players in terms of them getting a feel for how practice is going to
be. Yeah, and Bob Ratkowski, the way that he works all the position groups, his attention to detail. Hey, look, if Greg Olsen is working on something with the quarterbacks and Greg's talking to one of the quarterbacks, you know, for example, Blaine, then Bob Bratkowski is over there going over a detail with Chad Henne. I mean,
efficient is the best. I mean, there's very little wasted time out there.
You know, and with the new CBA rules, the amount of time that they're going to get is extremely limited. And so you've got to make extremely good use of the time that you have them. You know, there's a certain time where they don't let the coaches go out on the field because, you know, they're on the clock. I mean, literally, they are on the clock. They're limited to a certain amount of time that they can have with the players on the field. So their coaches are on standby on the sideline. They don't – kind of like the old concentration line.
Yeah.
And it's not the concentration line because when you cross this line, you've got to have focus. It's because when you cross that line, the clock starts ticking on how much time that you have the players on the field with the new CBA.
And there's no keeping them over.
There's no
overtime. There's no running long.
Nope. And extremely efficient and, to me, thoroughly impressed.
All right, folks. You can join the Jaguars when they host the 18th annual. Imagine that, 18th annual Bud Light Draft Party presented by PRI Productions. It's Thursday, April 26th at the Market to Town Center between Sweet, Whiskey River, and Blackfin. Join Tony Buscelli and watch the draft on large LED screens. Meet Jaguars players, enjoy performances by the Roar and the D-Line, and win some great prizes. Admission is free. It begins at 6:30. For more information, Jaguars.com. Well, this portion of Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Football Fanatics. Brian Sexton, along with Jeff Loggeman, Tony Buscelli, John Osher is back. Joe Fortunato here as well. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Schedule released last night. Let me run through it real quick, and we'll go week by week. And you want to throw a thought, or you want to go month by month?
However you want to do it. To me, I think the best part of this schedule is the home schedule. You know, you want to have the attractive games that you're going to play at home. And with the exception of
Green Bay,
they got everything that I wanted them to see get.
Here. All right. So we'll go September. At Minnesota, Houston at home, at Indianapolis, Cincinnati at home. So, I mean, right out of the gate, you get a Houston team that is the division champion.
Well, two of those teams you're better than right now.
Minnesota and Indianapolis?
Yes.
Well, I thought this was a schedule with the Vikings and the Colts there on the road. Even on the road, you should be able to – you should be able to win those games.
You need to be 3-1 after week 4.
It sets it up to where, you know, the Texans didn't exactly run away from the Jaguars last year.
No.
Beating them at home is not an absurd possibility. It sets up for a good start for the Jaguars.
Absolutely.
If they're improved, which I think they will be, and you need a good start because October's tough.
All right.
Hey, the early part of the schedule is going to be, in the mainstream media, it's going to be about comparison.
Right.
You got Andy Dalton, obviously, Blaine Gabbert. You're going to have Luck, and then –
Christian Ponder
sure. In Minnesota. And so this is going to be a month of comparison. You know, where is Blaine Gabbert at? Where does he compare to the two guys that were drafted last year? So I like the first month because there's a lot of young quarterbacks in there. And anytime you face a young quarterback with a veteran defense that was as good as what they were last year, should be a good game.
If you're improved, it's manageable.
Okay, great.
The next four,
well, a little tough. Three in the next 4 weeks because you get the Bears at home, bye week, at Oakland, at Green Bay, to
and then Detroit at home.
Every four of those.
That's four games.
That's the first week in November.
No, I yeah, you're right.
So October is Bears at home, bye week, at Raiders at Packers.
Tough.
Well, and hey, I like the Bears. I mean, Jay Cutler, you know, is Jay Cutler all that? No, he hasn't proven that. The Oakland Raiders, you don't know what they're going to be.
There. I think Jay Cutler's a good quarterback.
I think he's a good quarterback with probably the most talented arm in the league.
Jeff, before he got hurt, that Chicago Bear team was going to be in the playoffs and took Green Bay late into the fourth quarter when they had not had a – I mean, Jay Cutler, before he got hurt, was – Chicago was – with him and Forte healthy, were very good.
No, I think it's a fantastic matchup. I think it's a good draw because it's a home game. I mean, Chicago Bears coming here is a good thing because it's –
the Bears.
Because it is the Bears.
Yep.
But is Jay Cutler an elite quarterback? No.
All right.
No,
so,
I disagree. Ooh. God, I disagree with that. Jay Cutler is an elite quarterback.
He's an elite arm.
He's an elite quarterback.
I think that's what you said in 2007, 2008 as well, when we were in Denver.
That's right.
Yeah, when you played. I think you're consistent in that.
He's consistent. He's just consistent.
If you got
wrong.
A knee injury, Phillip Rivers played with a torn ACL.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going back to one time where.
One time.
Listen, guy. Listen, I'm not going to. Listen, Phillip Rivers, stud, love it. I think you have to be very careful. You don't know each guy's body. You don't know the severity of the MCL. Different MCL is different than what Rivers has. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into that. I just think you got to be careful with that.
You're about to go into November?
Yes.
Nobody has a concern about the early buy? You don't think it's too quick?
Well, of course it is. But, I mean,
it is what it is.
You don't want to buy that early, but, yeah.
Better than a week three buy.
You know what? You don't know. It could turn out to be perfect timing. I mean, from an injury standpoint, you know, you got to get there to find out whether you like it or not.
So here's November. Detroit here, Indy here, at Houston, Tennessee here. So 3 of 4 at home.
See, I lump the Detroit thing up with the
– Yeah, I go 4 of 4, yeah.
So I think that quarter becomes very tough when you have Detroit at home to pile it after the Packers, after okay. the –
Yeah,
know.
If you do it in the quarter.
But if you look at this third quarter, if you can somehow get through
so
your eighth game
Indy
in
at Houston, Tennessee at Buffalo.
Right.
That next quarter.
That's your third quarter.
And that is – if you can somehow get out of week 8 or week 9, whatever it is, that first half of the season in it, this quarter doesn't take you out of it.
Again, Indy at Houston, Tennessee at Buffalo. And then the final quarter.
The one thing we haven't mentioned, who's going to be playing quarterback for the Tennessee Titans?
Right. Jake Locker.
You know, I mean, if it's Jake Locker, I mean, you know, to me, that makes it an attractive matchup. I mean,
I tell you, I saw Jake Locker.
Comparison.
I did a couple. It'll be fun. It'll be a fun one. I did a couple Tennessee games, two games where he had to come in because of injury. And he almost led the – Titans, they were dead to rights in the fourth quarter. He came
good.
In the end of the third quarter and led them back against the Saints and ended up on the 1 yard line,
right.
Fourth and one last play to make it. They couldn't get in. Jake Locker looked very promising. Listen, he's a second year quarterback. A lot of things, I mean, he's going to be prone to errors, but that's going to be a fun thing to watch in the division of how that quarterback situation plays out, like Jeff talked about, whether it's Hasselbeck or Jake Locker.
Final quarter, Jets here at Miami, Patriots here at Tennessee.
The AFC East swing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and to me, the attractive game with the Jets, obviously, for reasons everybody knows.
Tebow.
And then the real feature to me of that quarter of the schedule is
Tom Brady. Yep.
Tom Brady is a Hall of Fame quarterback, and the New England Patriots, hopefully at that point, will be, you know, trying to find a way to get home field advantage. And that's what a lot of people
big
expect.
Game. It'll be a big game.
How difficult this phase is depends on what you think the Jets are. Are they a fading team like they looked like last season, or are they a good
team? They're a fading team.
If they're a fading team, then overall these four games are not that daunting. New England obviously is, but the other three, you can work around New England if the Jets are indeed a fading team.
All right, and the obvious and unspoken is that you just don't know how schedule's going to play out.
You never know.
No,
you never know if it's tough or not. It's all tough because it's the NFL.
Hey, league-wide, though, I mean, there's no doubt looking around the entire schedule. You go week by week, go to NFL.com, look at the week-by-week schedule. I mean, is the league in love with Peyton Manning or what? You know, we all kind of were debating, you know, should this team take a look at Peyton Manning? What would it do for the franchise to take a look at the schedule? Look at what Peyton Manning has done for the Broncos. It's crazy.
Five primetime games. I mean
they're primetime. Whether it be Monday night, Sunday night, or the 4 o'clock, and they're going to get the doubleheader. They're all over the place.
I covered so few 1 o'clock games in my time. I mean, they always put them on primetime because it sells.
Yeah, they're
going to tune in.
They start week one, Sunday night football. They start week two is Monday night football.
Yeah, you never have a normal schedule covering it.
Week
it's always
six,
Tuesday. Yeah.
Week six is Monday night football. Week eight is.
Don't forget some of the 4 o'clocks in there because
they'll
be CBS doubleheaders and they will be on.
Well, yeah, they're all that way then.
That's right.
They're all that way. Week eight is the Broncos Saints. That's Sunday night football. Hold on, I'm keeping going here. Week 11, San Diego is a 4:15 Eastern game.
They gotta have a Thursday night.
They got a Thursday night in there. Every team in the league has a Thursday night game this year.
They got the Raiders in week 14, and they finish with Kansas City and Cleveland, both late CBS.
When we're on the Peyton Manning conversation, and before we go to break, I saw an article that the Colts are now struggling to sell tickets.
Yeah, they have 4,000 tickets available, I believe.
It's
understandable.
Yeah, it is. It's just amazing how one guy, and that's what stars do. That's what star players do. They drive, they move the needle. And no,
well, and,
none
and
more
than
Peyton Manning.
And sustains success over, I mean, every year you're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it does. And there was always concern, obviously, what happens in that market, you know, when that doesn't happen.
Well, they have ticket issues.
Yeah, would what
they
built sustain? But that's sort of, you know, 20 out of the 32 markets.
Oh, no, no, I'm not saying it's.
Yeah.
They're, I mean,
it's what it is.
But for the
it
first
is
time,
what it is,
but I'm saying for the first time for a long time.
Sure.
Well, they admitted we're a small market. I mean, I read that in the story today, too. That one of their VPs said, and remember, we're a small market.
Right.
Which you hadn't heard about in Peyton
no,
Manning.
No, because Peyton Manning made him a large market.
Exactly. All right. Time for news here at the bottom of the hour on WOKV, and then we will come back with 30 more minutes. We'll talk about the draft here on Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Don't forget, you can join the Jaguars next week when they host the 18th annual Bud Light Draft Party, presented by PRI Productions. It's Thursday the 26th. The market's a town center between Sweet, Whiskey River, and Blackfin. You watch the draft on large LED screens. There'll be players, the roar, the D-line, prizes. Admission is free. It begins at 6:30.
I'll be there.
Tony will be there. For more information, visit Jaguars.com or call Tony personally.
He'll be there, and we'll be here.
Yes, we will be here.
And I'll be here all weekend.
3-day draft, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So what do we got? We got round one Thursday night.
Round two, three Friday, and then you wrap it up Saturday.
Perfect.
Afternoon.
What do
perfect.
You think of that?
Well,
it's here all week.
Yeah, I mean, I would rather have it be 2 days. And, but it turns the first day into what the NBA draft is, the star event, the, you know, the red carpet, the whole deal. And it sort of leaves the second 2 days for the football junkies, which is, you know, it sets up fine. The NFL likes, if they had their way, they'd probably turn into a 7-day.
Yeah, but day
draft.
Two,
like that
day two will no longer be just for football junkies. Mm. I really believe that. It's wow. Prime time, and people will watch it because people know that in rounds two and rounds three.
They'll watch it, but there's a reason they put it on Friday night. If it was really for the non-football junkie, they'd put it on during the week.
But they will get a lot of casual
fans
on Friday night in prime time.
Yes.
All right.
You think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The NFL
Friday
draft is continuing to grow in popularity.
Well, I know that, but
Friday night people will watch.
Friday night is the worst night of TV watching.
It is. But you will get those casual fans on a Friday night.
Will you watch it Friday night?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Brian,
I'll follow it on Twitter. I will follow every pick on Twitter, but I will not probably sit in front of the TV. Because I'll be, you know, kids and moving around and
yeah,
doing stuff.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I was at home watching TV on a Friday night.
Well,
so.
And I think that part of it is, I mean, ESPN does a wonderful job.
They do a great job.
You know,
NFL Network does a
pretty
good job.
But to me, too. The NFL Network has really stepped up, and obviously I'm a huge fan of Mike Mayock and listening
makes
to
that.
Him. And so, and then obviously they've added a lot of different people into their studio. Now, I'm not a big fan of listening to bankrupt Warren Sapp, but I like
why
some
I
of the players that they have
the
in there.
Listening to him, right.
But
yeah.
Mayock makes it worth watching.
Absolutely.
That coverage.
He's great.
And pull, I mean, yeah, he does.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the draft. And our coverage begins, what are we saying, 7:30? 7:30 on Thursday night. Jeff and I will be here. John Osher will be in and out. Tony will be over at the draft day party. We'll check in with him. Cole be here? Cole Pepper will be here as well. All right.
I'm
so
Cole Pepper.
But Wednesdays are what? Our mock draft,
our mock
correct?
Next Wednesday, okay. And then we'll have coverage of the first round. A couple
so
hours.
How are we doing the mock? Do we each like, get to pick a – are we each going to be like an individual team? We get to pick who we want? Or we just
we've never done it that way.
How
we
do
just,
we do
we
it?
Just alternate.
Well, I mean, we usually put it together to try to get it right.
Yeah. Yeah, we try to get it together, but then we just alternate. You know, we've already got it kind of pre-figured out, but we have our mock draft.
And we'll let you pick, you know, the teams that you want so you can explain why you did it.
Okay.
But one of the
I'll
things
be ready. I just want to do my homework.
All right. Well, one of the things that we try to do is we try to get every player where they belong. The teams will change.
But my point is if you guys have already got it done, I'm just going to show up and just make fun of your mock draft.
No, we generally come in here a couple hours early.
Yeah,
and
which
have
means
pizza.
You
got
to be here early next week.
Yeah.
I was here early this week.
No, I mean like a couple hours.
Like 4 o'clock.
Not like 15
maybe 3
minutes.
O'clock. Joe's going to order pizza, right, Joe?
Pizza.
Yeah.
I'd like
somebody's buying.
I'd like the Works, Meat Lovers, or a if we're going to be like.
For him.
Not very much, you know, pepperoni mushroom.
I got a great pizza place. It's brand new. It's out by the beach. I'll bring it in next week.
Perfect.
It's unbelievable.
Johnny, you
on,
bring
I'm,
the salad.
I'm marking that on the.
Yeah, mark it right there.
Here.
Tony's
yeah.
going to get the salad. You got the pizza. Johnny
pizza.
O will have the refreshments. Me and Joe.
Salad. What do we need salad for?
Got to have salad with pizza.
No, you don't. You need pizza.
Well, Salad is good.
Suddenly, I like your casual fan comment. I was disagreeing with it, but now I like it. Yeah, you're right.
All right. So, we'll be on the air with our mock draft at 6 o'clock next week, and then our draft coverage 7:30 next Thursday. So, let's talk a little bit about where this thing's starting to fall. And we've talked about, you know, if the Jaguars find themselves at 7 and scenarios play out that they're unable to go back.
Well, Tannehill's the wild card. I mean, that's what we don't know. I mean, who, if anybody, does Cleveland or Minnesota trade out of the top five to somebody who wants Tannehill? If not, if they don't, if they stay there and pick, then I believe we will be able to trade down.
Okay.
Because somebody's going to want to get to 7 before Miami to get Tannehill.
Let me throw a scenario at you. I already have. I know what you guys think about it. I haven't got John's opinion on this. I heard this from someone today. Seattle is a wild card for moving up.
Which I don't understand why they would go move up and get Tannehill when they just paid a bunch of money to Matt Flynn.
Because it's the most important position on the field.
And it doesn't cost as much. But so just
it'll cost a lot. It'll cost them a draft to move up that far.
Well, it'll cost them your second round pick for sure.
Oh, more than that.
Where's Seattle at now?
12.
No, they're 12.
That's about what the Jaguars paid to move up.
Yeah. They moved up from 16 to 9.
Relatively similar.
From 12 to 3 is a huge.
Well, yeah, 12 to 3.
Well, we'll see.
Well, we were talking 12 to 7, right?
No.
I was talking to three.
You got to give up like most your. I mean, you're going to give up a second this year, maybe next year.
Yeah, that would surprise me.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be huge.
Here's a scenario, just in case it does.
Just in case.
Somebody,
but to get to 7.
Forget Seattle.
7's worthwhile.
Forget Seattle for a second.
But anybody,
someone in this range, Buffalo, Kansas City, Seattle, you know, that doesn't have that young quarterback on their roster, wants to make a play, get in front of Minnesota. And you've got
get to Minnesota, get in front of Cleveland.
I'm sorry, to get in front of Cleveland, who's barking a little bit about taking him as well. Now, so let's put Seattle and just say it's them. And now they take Tannehill, and Cleveland takes Richardson, the running back, and Tampa takes Claiborne, the cornerback, and St. Louis takes Blackman, the wide receiver. Then you're sitting there at 7, and there's an offensive tackle on the board.
Well, you take Khalil.
That was the question I was going to ask. Do you take Khalil?
Take him.
I did.
In that scenario.
I said no.
Which is surprising from the.
So you wouldn't take you if you were there? I'm not saying he's as good, but that's the scenario. You're saying pass on the best left tackle in the draft.
You spent a top 10 pick on a left tackle in Eugene.
In 2009.
Who played well last year. So are you going to then, and you have Evan Britton, which is a big wild card with injury, but are you going to then move, who are you going to move to right tackle?
But at that point.
Who are you going to move to right tackle?
But at that point, he's not just best available. He's really best available.
Who are you going to move to right tackle?
Figure it out. Yeah. I mean, when you got a good a player who's clearly the best, you figure it out.
John Ogden played left guard.
For 1 year, and they got rid of Tony Jones because of that.
I understand, but I mean, you figure it out.
I'm
just asking the question.
The long term, I don't think – I wouldn't pick – would you pick a right tackle 7th?
Not if you had your druthers, no.
No, okay. but he's not a right tackle.
Well, one of them are going to be a right tackle.
All right, who would you pass on him for if you're in this scenario? You can't get back because you've got a tackle sitting there. Who do you pass for? A defensive tackle? Reach?
I have not studied the draft, but the Mississippi State kid is very highly regarded that John put in his mock.
Mm-hmm. Fletcher Cox.
He immediately helps you in a need area. I mean, you have needs at defensive tackle now.
And you can't be too good on the defense.
And you can't the no. deep. I mean, you look at the New York Giants.
I was just right. going there.
Who have a bunch of, you know, war daddies up there in the front that get after you. They're pretty dang good.
And I keep using this tired analogy. You never hear a team walking around in December saying, "Man, we're just too good up front."
Right.
I mean, so that would be the argument for Fletcher Cox.
And since we're talking hypotheticals,
it's
here,
totally
obviously.
Hypothetical.
If you're dealing with that hypothetical, somebody would be willing to trade up to get Ryan Khalil, and there's another opportunity to trade down.
Matt Khalil,
Ryan's his brother.
Matt Khalil, I mean.
Yeah, Ryan's.
And here, listen to me.
Right.
It pains me to say it because Matt Khalil's an SC guy, and I think he's good, and I'd love to have him if we needed an offensive line help. But we've gone offensive line heavy the last couple years.
But I'll say, I mean,
and this team needs playmakers.
But if he's as good as they say he is, which is a potential franchise guy, you know, back in 95, it would have been a mistake to pass on you at 7, even if you had another guy. Because, I mean, you know, not to blow smoke, but you were that good. So, same situation.
I understand that. And, listen, I'm not saying it's an easy decision and it's you can't. It's hard to project. But to your point, if you think this guy is a potential, you know, a perennial All-Pro player, then and that he is that much better than everybody else on the board, then you pick him.
Just a scenario. You know, there's a
and
lot.
That's
of
the them. Argument. I mean,
so
yeah.
that okay. If you're saying he is a perennial All-Pro, the best by far, not even close to anyone else at seven. Then to you and Jeff's point, I would agree you have to take him.
And that's what makes the Trent Richardson, you know, scenario intriguing. I don't think he will.
I would not take Trent Richardson.
Okay. I would not either. But if he's the best available,
I would not. If he's the best available, I wouldn't take him.
If he's the best available,
no.
you take him.
I don't
no,
think
you
he's
do
gonna,
not.
Okay, let's
I
would
break.
Be shocked if he's there.
All right. You're crazy.
I would be shocked if he's there as well. Let's break. One more segment. We'll keep the conversation rolling. Aetna's mobile app lets you view claims and access your family's medical history anytime, anywhere. And Aetna's payment estimator lets you see and compare costs ahead of time. Try them out at Aetna.com. Aetna, no more, get better. Back after this. All right, just playing through scenarios here, which is all we can do until the draft comes up. But, you know, more and more mock drafts are out there. And you know, for the most part, they're not worth the paper they're printed on. But have you seen
except for the Ozones. What version are we on now? Mock draft 3?
The next
3,
and
3.
Last
0?
Will be 3.0.
3.0.
Yeah,
when
some
is that,
point.
When does that arrive?
Whenever I get to it. No, at some point.
That's
next
way to be a professional. Way to be a professional.
While you're working on the web, could you get him to put the time that the draft day party starts?
Sure.
Bocelli was looking for
I'll
that
make a
he
call.
Needed to know what time it
was. 6:30, right?
6:30.
Okay, so do you find anybody that doesn't have this team taking a pass-rushing defensive end?
Well, I know not we're not taking Couples.
The two I see there. I mean, Quentin Couples is not worth discussing at this point.
All right, but I'll go back to the NFL.com site. You know, they've got all their guys. That
Ingram is probably on most mock drafts.
It's the most popular.
The Jaguars.
What is he? I mean, is Ingram that? Was he that good?
My understanding is he's just not a 4-3 rusher.
Well, and
that's what you know.
Well, that should eliminate that.
Yeah, people will argue that, but.
How big is
that's
he?
Not what they see.
6'1" and 5'8" and 265 pounds, I think, is what.
Short armed.
Yeah, like 31
all
inch
the measurable.
He's there in the mocks because he just looks
short
so
arms,
perfect.
Not a quick step, right. Competitor.
Yeah. Let's not take him.
Competitor, I love it.
the guys I like lining up against.
He's one of those right. guys that has a lot of ability but no specialty. I think that's a good way to put it.
And I would just be very, very surprised if he's the pick at seven if this team stays here.
He's a good football player. You can't argue that.
Right.
Yeah, but where do you play him? You know, I think that's the question. I mean, there's been talk.
You got to play him a right end and put him into your left end.
Well, they've been talking about, hey, he can play three technique. He can play an outside
three
linebacker.
Three technique?
Yeah.
6'1". 264 is what he's
they're saying.
To
they're saying.
Three technique.
That's what they're saying.
Let's run right at him, boys.
They're saying he's a versatile player, can play inside, play outside, be a linebacker, be a you know hand down guy. You know who knows?
What do you think, Jeff?
I want a guy who's got some longer arms.
So what you're saying is his stance is really low.
Well,
Dwight Freedy doesn't have the longest arms. He's pretty good.
And I've always said this about pass rushers. If a guy doesn't have some obvious measurables, he's got to have something special.
Like a quick step.
Like a phenomenal, maybe the greatest first step ever in the history of the game that Dwight Freedy mm-hmm. has. You know, or he's got to have
and he can bull rush.
He's strong.
Power.
He did two things.
You know, does Ingram have that something special that would make you go, he can do it at the next level?
And everything I want to hear is he wants to be a 3-4 outside backer. It's hard to bring a guy in as your seventh overall pick when it's not his natural thing that he does.
Yeah,
so he's like a James Harrison type of guy.
That's what, you know, and you know, I don't scout these guys like these guys here in the back room do, but that's what you understand.
You know, Copels was
314's
boy, he was a big part of the conversation early on, and that's just fallen way off.
Well, did you see, we were talking about last week, what Mayock said about him.
Said he wouldn't touch him in the first round.
Wouldn't touch him.
Period.
Said he wouldn't draft him if he was a GM. And we're talking about, I mean, when you look at the Copels kid, you're talking 6'6".
And we're not talking Mel Kiper here now.
No.
I mean, we're talking a guy who
a
studies
reputable.
The tape, you know, has a reputation of
six,
being
six,
a pretty good when it comes to that.
284.
And clearly he buys into what you hear, which is he's a guy who's not going to show up and play all the time. That's
we don't need
book.
That either.
And
pass.
He may prove all that wrong, but that's what you hear on him.
Pass.
I just hope.
Who else is going to be there, Brian?
let's tell you who's not.
Let's just
here.
Go through who.
All right, all right.
Let's just go through who we're not. Who I wouldn't take.
All right. Okay. Well, so
a lot of those guys.
Well, we're pretty sure that one and two are set, and then you've got to Khalil, and you said you wouldn't take him, and Richardson.
I changed my tune on that. If he is, if you have measured, and listen, I haven't studied the top 20 picks of this draft.
He's an SC guy, so we figured.
I love him. Love him, and I'd love him to be here. But I'm saying if I'm Gene Smith, he has to be head and shoulders above anyone else on the board at that point for me to take a tackle.
Let me ask you guys this, okay? Let's say Tannehill doesn't go in the top six.
Well, so he's still there.
So he's there. And nobody wants to trade with the Jaguars.
Take him?
Okay. You know, and who we think is going to go in the top six.
You take Tannehill?
Who do they take?
You take Tannehill?
He's probably not the best on the board. That's what I'm asking you.
I wouldn't.
You know, let's say it falls where we think
Blackman's
it goes.
Blackman's not there.
Blackman's not None there. Richardson's not there.
Give me some
there.
Names. I don't have the computer in front of me. Who's out there?
Well, here, I'll turn it to you so you can see. But, the Poe kid, the Rife kid, the Cox kid, the guy who's probably the safest player in this whole draft outside of Luck is the linebacker, Kuechly from Boston
College. He's good.
Not sure how to pronounce it.
He is.
Keckley.
I've heard is very good.
The DeCastro kid, the big guard.
Guard from Stanford.
Nasty guy. You were just asking about the right tackle, Rife.
Well, that's the curious one to me because he's a right tackle.
I
has a
probably,
place to play.
I just do it. I think I'd do what the Ravens did and just not pick.
But that's why Fletcher Cox makes sense, Frank.
Yeah, I'm joking.
I mean, that's
obviously.
Why. It's not the ideal.
Keep going down
the,
there,
but it makes
but,
sense.
But he could be a guy. You have one guy on your defensive line, Tyson Alualu, who's coming back from knee surgery, and your other one is a big question mark.
I'd pick Cox
with an eye.
I'd pick Paris Cox.
I'd pick Fletcher Cox.
You mean
Fletcher
Cox?
I mean that's the Paris cornerback. Cornerback. Yeah. Fletcher Cox. Thank you.
But
well, what about one of these defensive ends that's out there? I mean, the Branch kid, the kid from Syracuse,
no.
Chandler, the kid from Illinois. I mean, would you if you?
Well, from everything that I've read, those guys are a little bit farther right. down ranking
wise. End of
first,
in beginning of second. Yeah.
Is it a horrible thing if you have Knighton, Alualu, and Cox who
no.
are all good?
No,
and
no.
C.J. Mosley. No,
you can't have too many big guys.
Because the reality is most formations, you're not playing end, tackle, tackle, end.
In today's NFL, you rotate defensive linemen.
Well, it goes back to this. The game is a passing game. The two most important players are the ones that can pass the ball and the other ones are that can affect the pass. That's it. That's the two most important type of people that you can get in
the draft. And then
the guys
who can protect the quarterback.
They fall down a little bit.
No, they're pretty up there.
What about – here's a name. Here's a name, and he's climbing a lot of boards, and that happens, the week before the draft. The cornerback from
South Carolina.
Stephon Gilmore.
Good guy.
I have no idea.
I've heard for a long time that because Janoris Jenkins is such a huge off-field concern, that Stephon Gilmore is the guy behind Claiborne. I'm not saying here. I'm saying a lot of people around the league believe that
he'll be the next.
He's the second corner off the board.
The thing that's frustrating, and
he's a top 10 worthy guy.
The thing that's frustrating is Janoris Jenkins. If he was clean,
he'd be number one.
He'd be the top guy. That's the guy you go get.
Yeah, yeah. But he's not.
I know. So
that's
with
that
all
vacuum,
that said,
that's that vacuum you like.
No, I know, right.
You know.
With all that said, Brian, in your first scenario, if Matt Khalil's there, and he's the best player, I think you do have to.
And if you're stuck, if no one will come,
you
and
have
get
to take him. If you, as you would, I mean, now that I've gone, you start looking. You guys are right. You take them.
I'm intrigued by Paris Cox. I'll be honest with you.
Well, let me throw another
name.
He
got cut by the Broncos. I think he's available.
We're just about out of time. What about the other defensive tackle, the kid from Memphis? What have you heard about him?
He has a strong bench press.
Don Terry Poe.
Too much of a combine.
Don Terry Poe, okay.
Yeah.
For the top 10. I mean, he may pan out, but Fletcher Cox is perceived as the far safer guy whose tape backs up what he is physically.
Well, going to be interesting. I know
can't
that.
Wait It'll for the. You know what I can't wait for is the mock draft in here because we're having pizza
and salad.
Was that for the draft?
No, mock draft. I'm going to bring the pizza from this place out by the beach.
And you got salad.
No, I'm not bringing any salad. Bring a lot of pizza, though. I'm hungry.
What's a lot? Like your own?
I'm trying to help you out, man. You know, salad's good for you.
My wife still loves me. I'm fine.
Salad's good for you.
I'm not dating.
Great answer.
I'm not dating anybody.
We're going to need food Thursday as well, though.
I got Wednesday.
You're on your own. I'll be out at the draft party.
Yeah, he'll be eating there.
Send us food from one of those restaurants.
I'll work on it.
I'll hook you. I'll hook three of us up.
All right.
For draft day.
All right. And I got the night before. All right. Looking forward to that. See you.